to Galatians chapter 4. Amen. As we are embarking on this Christmas season, I don't know if any of you put up your decorations yet. Go to Christmas tree. We're going to buy a Charlie Brown Christmas tree this year.
Amen.
Those little small joints. Over the years, we've been buying those, like, the big trees, you know, and it's been nice and good. But the one thing, see, something's wrong with today's Christmas trees. Because when I was a kid, my dad used to go and buy a Christmas tree from the corner hardware store. Those trees had been out there since the summer. Maybe not that long, but they've been out there for weeks. And he would bring the tree in the house, and for the entire Christmas season, the house would smell like Christmas. Sister Vanelle and I, we go out to the tree farm. This is a suburban thing.
Yeah.
Because they had no tree farms where exactly. Right?
Yeah.
And we go out to the tree farm, they give us a hacksaw and a wagon.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we go out there looking around all the time for trees. And then we finally find a tree, and then Sister Fennell got to go. No, I'm only kidding. Then I get down. I get down there. And I saw the tree. And then we go we bring it back on the wagon.
Yeah.
And the man then gives it another cut on the bottom. And then he puts it in the net, we bring it home. And all I'm thinking of, this tree is about as fresh as it could be. And I'm telling you what, over the next couple of days, I'm straining to smell the pine.
I
just can't get over that. And so I don't know what it is, but I'm thinking that this year we're gonna buy a little Charlie Brown Christmas tree, and it's gonna fill the house with the smell of Christmas. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes bigger is not always better. Amen. Anybody experience that same thing? That your Christmas trees aren't like, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what it is, amen. I think somebody doing something to the trees so they can go out there and have you buy that artificial pine smell. You know, the people buy, they got these little sticks that you put in the tree, little sprays. And all. Didn't they have that when I was growing up? You just had the tree.
Exactly.
I don't put it past this capitalist society. They growing trees with no fragrance. So that we could go out and purchase pine scent. Glory to God. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But we're in Galatians chapter 4, right?
Amen.
Amen. This is the Christmas season. Merry Christmas early. Amen. Merry Christmas late. Amen. Merry Christmas to everybody. But Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. We're going to read to verse number 5. And it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Just want to read that in the Amplified as well. But when the proper time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born subject to the regulations of the law, to purchase the freedom of, to ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who were subject to the law, that we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us and be recognized as God's sons. Amen. Let's pray, amen. Father, we thank you for the word that we've just read. We thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit shall speak unto us a word for the hour. A word for the season.
Yes.
We come right now, God, with a receptive heart and ready ears to receive and to hear the word of God on today. Have your way in this place, Holy Father, and speak to your people words of life.
Yes.
And help us to see and to understand and to know Jesus better. We now submit to your spirit. We submit to your authority. We pray, O God, that you have your way in this place. And Father God, we thank you right now for transforming our lives by the power of your spirit and the authority of your word. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our title today is God's Promise Has an Appointed Time. Amen. God's promise has an appointed time. Right here in Galatians chapter 4, Paul speaking to the church at Galatia, he uses a phrase in verse number 4. He says, the fullness of time. When the fullness of time was come. The Amplified Version says, when the proper time had fully come. And when that proper time had fully come, the scripture says that God sent his son. Amen. God sent his son at the proper time. He sent his son when the fullness of time was come. He didn't do it before then. So God does not work and fulfill his promises ahead of time. God's promise to the world, and he promised Jesus to the world, amen, had a particular time, an appointed time, for it to take place. And for you and for me, the promises that God has made unto us, some of which you are holding in your heart and you haven't shared with anyone, you need to know, amen, I need to know, and we need to know, that every promise of God is yea and amen. But it also has an appointed time. And it may not come when you want it or when I want it, but the promise of God will be fulfilled for those who don't lose faith in waiting for it.
Amen.
Amen. And that's so important here because, see, we're talking about Christmas. And how many of you know that Christmas really is the celebration of the fulfillment of a promise?
Amen.
Right? And that promise was that God made a promise that he was going to send a Messiah into the world to save people from their sins.
Yes.
And save from sins means to save us from the penalty of our sins. The wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. That's the payment for sin. You sin, you die. I don't like that equation. I sin, I die.
Mm-hmm.
Because I sin. And I don't want to die. Come on, somebody.
Yes, yes.
And so God sending a Messiah into the world to pay the price for our sin. That we can take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ and become the righteousness of God. And so that we then can enjoy eternal life. But God made this promise. I'm going to send Messiah into the world to save people from their sins. At Christmas time, we come and we start reading. As Sister Fennell said earlier, we'll read Matthew and we'll read Luke. And we'll see that the promise made to Joseph. You're going to have a son. His name is going to be named Jesus. And he's going to save the world from their sins. Promise made to Mary that the Holy Ghost is going to come upon her and overshadow her, and she's going to give birth to the Savior of the world. That the promise is made to the shepherds that if they go, they will find the babe lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. These are promises that we see and we often talk about at Christmas time, and you know, of the Savior being born. But don't you know something? That God promised Jesus long before we got to Matthew or to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, God promised Jesus all the way back in the book of Genesis. And he spoke the promise of the coming Messiah all the way through the Old Testament.
Yes, he did.
Amen. You remember that God put in the middle of the garden a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. And he told Adam, you can eat of every tree you want, but you can't eat of that tree. So what did Adam and Eve do? They ate from that tree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And when they ate from that tree, sin entered into the world. Now, when God came to deal with their sin, he first dealt with that old deceiver, Satan. And in Genesis chapter 3, he spoke to the serpent. And in verse 14, he told the serpent this. He said, because you have done this, you have deceived Adam and Eve. He said, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life. And then he says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, or he, shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel. And what God was saying here was that there was going to be a Savior who would be born of a woman, as we just saw Paul talk about in Galatians chapter 4, amen? Born of a woman, a seed of a woman, amen? In other words, someone who is going to come through man. And he said that he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Mm-hmm. And what God was saying was, yes, you're going to bruise him. You're going to bruise his heel. Mm-hmm. But he's going to bruise your head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want you to know something, amen, that I don't know if there's such a thing as a death blow that could be rendered to someone's heel. But I do know there's a death blow that can be rendered to someone's head.
Amen. Amen.
And so he told the serpent, you're going to bruise his heel. In other words, you're going to hurt him. You're going to bruise him. Mm-hmm. But you ain't going to kill him.
Amen. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
See, Satan believed, amen, that when Jesus was crucified, he thought he killed him. But he should have went back to the scripture. Because the promise was made way back in Genesis. Oh, you'll bruise him. He was bruised, what?
Yeah.
For our iniquity.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to bruise him. Yeah. But you're going to bruise him on the heel.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
He's going to recover.
Yes.
And in fact, on the third day, he's going to rise again.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
But he's going to take you out.
Amen.
Because he's going to crush your head.
Amen. Amen.
And so ever since Genesis, amen, if you really read the Bible, God was talking about Jesus from Genesis. He was talking about a Savior coming into the world. The promise wasn't something that we find when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. No, God didn't just start there.
No.
He started from the beginning. God says, I call the end from the beginning. And so from the very beginning, God had a promise. And all throughout the Old Testament, the scripture is pointing to the Savior coming into the world. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to turn with me to the last book of the New Testament. It's the book of Malachi. It's right before Matthew. So if you want to find Matthew first and work your way back, that'll work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That will work. This is the last book of the New Testament. Old Testament, I'm sorry. Old Testament. Malachi. Let's look at chapter 4 together. God says, for behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. There's a day coming, amen. The day of judgment. Verse number 2, but unto you that fear my name, praise God. That's you, amen.
Amen.
Unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse number 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And so ends the Old Testament. With God pointing to Elijah the prophet coming. But if you've read the Old Testament, you know Elijah already came.
Yeah.
So who's this Elijah God's talking about now? And if you fast forward to your study of the New Testament, you would say that Elijah is John the Baptist, who Jesus even said came in the spirit of Elijah, who the Bible described as being someone who was hairy and had long hair, just like Elijah, and would stay out in the wilderness eating locusts and honey. And the Bible talks about John the Baptist as being what? The forerunner of the Christ. The one who says, make way, right? A pathway through the wilderness as he proclaims the coming of the Lord. So in the Old Testament, as it ends, we already saw in Genesis how God pointed to Jesus crushing the head of Satan. And all throughout the Old Testament, God continues to point to a Savior coming into the world. This is a promise that he made. And the Old Testament ends with God talking about the coming day of the Lord and saying that that day is going to be preceded by Elijah the prophet, or someone carrying themselves in the spirit of Elijah, who's going to come before that great day. Mm-hmm. And then God says nothing else. And some of you realize, amen, that between Old and New Testament, it has been commonly said that it was 400 years of silence.
Yeah.
Yep.
400 years of silence. And some take that to mean that God simply stopped speaking for 400 years until we get to the New Testament. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I believe that, amen, because I believe that God is always speaking. Mm-hmm. But I do believe this, that in that 400 years, there was no inspired prophet that was raised up in the land. Mm-hmm. Right? There was no word of God written in those 400 years.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that all scripture is inspired by God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
2 Timothy 3 and 16. Yeah. And there was no scripture being written in those 400 years. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Mm-hmm. So if God is silent from that standpoint, I get it. But I believe, though, that during this time, God was still speaking to individual people who wanted to hear his voice.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes.
God was still speaking to individual people who wanted to hear his voice.
Yes.
And do you know what God was saying? The same thing he was saying since Genesis.
Yes.
I'm sending Messiah into the world.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
The same thing he said all throughout the Old Testament. Mm. The same thing he said when he stopped inspiring the prophets after the book of Malachi.
Yes.
Well, you expect God to have a new message now? He said, I am the Lord God. I
change not.
Praise God, somebody who reads the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
I change not. So God's not going to change his message. If he was speaking about Messiah to come from the book of Genesis and on through the first five books of the Bible and on through the book of Judges and on through, amen, the major and the minor prophets and all that, he's not going to change now. He was still speaking. But someone said, how do you know he was still speaking? I want to show you something in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, at verse number Where is it? Verse number 25. It says in Luke 2:25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Mm-hmm. God was talking to Simeon. Amen? Mm-hmm. So this idea that God is silent for 400 years and not saying anything. No, God was talking to Simeon. Mm-hmm. But look who Simeon is. Simeon was a just man. That means he lived right. But Simeon was also a devout man, which means what? That he was devoted.
Yes.
The Lord was talking to Simeon. Mm-hmm. So you know what that says to me? That people who live upright and who are devoted to God, God's always talking to them.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
Even when he's not talking to the world, he's talking to them.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right.
Do you know? Do you know? This is for all the people who go to church and say, "I didn't get nothing out of that message." First of all, I doubt that. Amen. I'll align myself with the preacher and believe that he gave an inspired word for you. And if you didn't get nothing out of that, then I got more questions for you than the preacher.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But even if what you're saying is true, that you're not getting anything from the preacher because the preacher's not receiving anything from God, I say to you, if you're just and devout, God will still speak to you.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
So what does that mean? That means you can't blame it on the preacher if you're not receiving it. Because God may not talk to the whole world, but he'll talk to those who are just and devout.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
And he spoke to Simeon, and he told him about the consolation of Israel. What's the consolation of Israel? He was talking to him, it says in verse number 26, amen, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ.
That's right. That's right.
Who's the Christ? The Messiah.
Yeah.
Same message. God saying, "I'm sending the Messiah into the world."
Yeah.
It may have been 400 years in between, but God's message didn't change.
Amen.
Watch this. Now stay in Luke chapter 2 and let's jump over to verse number 36. "And there was one Anna, a prophetess." What does that mean? She was receiving word from God.
Yes.
She was of great age. Translation, she was old. And had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. What does that mean? That means she had a husband for 7 years. See, because back then you could mark it. Uh-oh. We should just move on from this one. See, you could mark a woman's marriage back then from her virginity. What to God we could do that today? Amen.
Amen.
I just thought, keep it, that's right, keep it moving. But it's in the Bible. God put that there to remind us. See how it used to be? We can tell how long a woman was married. By that standard, that's someone married 10 years, but by this standard, they're married 35. Oh, Lord. Oops. But she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was married for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And she was a widow about 84 years. Mm-hmm. Now see, some say that means that she was 84 means 80, right? Mm-hmm. That she was 84 years old. No, I believe that's saying she was a widow for 84 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So watch this. If she got married about 12 or 13, amen, which is not uncommon, right? Mm-hmm. Teenager. She's 12, 13, maybe 14. She's about 20 when her husband died.
Wow.
And then she's a widow.
Wow.
Wow.
for 84 years. She's over 100.
Yes.
She's old. The scripture says she was old. But she was a prophetess. She was receiving word from God. Because look what this said. And she was a widow by 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, what? Night and day. She's devoted. And she came in at that instant when Jesus was presented into the temple. And she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption of Israel. She saw Jesus and she knew he was the redemption of Israel. Mm-hmm. He was the Savior.
Yeah.
How does she know that if God is silent for 400 years? Because she was a devout, dedicated, faithful woman of God. And God spoke to her even when he's not speaking to the whole world.
That's true. That's true.
And so when we get to the New Testament, and we begin to see in the first book of the New Testament, which is Matthew, if you ever notice something, Matthew begins with a genealogy of Jesus Christ. Because it's pointing to the fulfillment of the promise that God has made. God made a promise to Abraham. The whole world is going to be blessed through you. Mm-hmm. How is that going to be? Because Jesus is going to come through me. Mm-hmm. He made a promise to David. Your kingdom will never end. Mm-hmm. How is that going to be? Because the Messiah was going to come through the Davidic line.
Yeah.
And so we get to the end of the Old Testament, and God is saying what? He's still pointing to the Savior coming. And when he picks up the conversation in the New Testament, what does he do? He starts talking about the Savior coming according to his promise.
Yes.
But please understand, there were some people who were still hearing that message of God, even though God wasn't speaking through inspired prophets. Mm-hmm. The other thing we should understand is that God, during this 400-year period, one, he was speaking. Second, he was working. The book of Daniel made a whole bunch of prophecies about major political and military events that were going to happen. And we're not going to go into it today. I just want to remind you, though, if you remember Daniel had a vision of these statues?
Yeah.
Right? And he didn't know what the vision quite was. But really, these were visions about military power, that the Medes and the Persians were going to rule for a time, and then the Greeks were going to rule for a time. Yeah. That actually happened through Alexander the Great. Mm-hmm. And then the Romans were going to take over.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. And see, these world events were being orchestrated by God during this so-called period of silence.
Yeah. Yeah.
During the so-called period of silence, God was still talking to devoted people, and God was orchestrating world events.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like nothing was happening, but God was orchestrating world events. Why? So that message that he spoke from Genesis was going to be able to be carried forth.
Yeah.
Do you know why he wanted the Romans to dominate the world? Because now that they dominate the world, now the gospel can be spread.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Through the word being birthed in the hearts of men, and then persecution coming, and people being scattered all over the place, and going all over the Roman Empire, and spreading the gospel.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
God was setting this up. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if the world was like all splintered and there was no real levels of community? The Roman civilization was sophisticated. They built roads and all these kinds of things. The means of travel were made a lot easier.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, that's because we can trade our goods and we can travel here and we can go on vacation. And God said, I'm doing that so that when the time appointed comes.
Yes.
When the gospel needs to be spread, folk can travel easier than they ever have before.
Amen.
Some people think the internet was created so that we could do all this training. I'm telling you now, the internet, because God wants to reach the furthest point of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
So God was working during all this time. And people say, oh, in 400 years of silence. See, let's. There's no inspired prophet rising up. But please don't believe God took a nap. Please don't believe that God was sleeping. Please don't believe that God was inactive. God was talking and God was working.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about this 400 years, you know what God was doing? He was allowing time for the word that he had already spoken through the Old Testament to penetrate into people's hearts. Mm. I've said what I want to say. Now get it. Hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Study it.
Yes.
Meditate on it.
Yes.
Share it. Mm-hmm. Spread it. Right?
Yes.
Amen. He was allowing that word to get into people's hearts. And it got into some people's hearts. Amen. Mm-hmm. It got into Simeon's heart.
Yes, it did.
It got into Anna's heart. Mm-hmm. And we were talking in Sunday school today. It got into Mary's heart.
Right.
See, one of the things about Mary that's amazing is that she had a faith to believe one of the most amazing things ever said. You are going to give birth to the Savior of the world.
Yes.
How many women would have rejected that as utter nonsense?
Yeah, that's true.
She believed it. Mm. But how can you believe something God tells you? You got to have the basis for believing Him. And guess what that basis is? His Word. Mary was a young woman who knew the Old Testament scriptures.
Yes, she did.
That's why when she started to sing, what do they call that thing? The Magnificat, right?
Yeah.
And right? When she went to visit Elizabeth, oh, she's spouting scripture, Jack. Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? Because she allowed the word to penetrate her heart. Mm-hmm. And so now when God comes with this amazing promise, you're going to give birth to the Savior of the whole world. Mm. She, after asking one point of clarification, she goes, "Aye." And we got all these Christians now who are so on faith, on fire for God, they believe God so much, they run around the church, and then somebody says, "God told me to tell you He's going to give you $1,000. I can't believe it. Ain't going out. $1,000. I want no $1,000. I want God to speak something big to me. Something big. Look, He's going to tell you the Savior's coming. But don't you want God to tell you He's going to do something great to you,
yes,
that's going to affect the earth?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
But how can you be prepared for that kind of a big pronouncement if you're not grounded in the Word of God?
Amen.
And so during this 400 years, there were some people who were studying. There were some people who were meditating. There were some people, amen, who were reading. There were some people who allowed that word to penetrate their heart.
Yeah.
What's the point of all this? That the point is that when by the time we get to the angels announcing and bringing glad tidings that will be unto all men, right, that unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord, don't you know that that was an announcement that was centuries in the making?
Yes, yes.
Pointing all the way back to the book of Genesis, and in fact, long before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Christmas, amen, it is really a celebration of the promise being fulfilled at an appointed time. Mm-hmm. Because Paul said, when the proper time had come, Jesus was born into the world.
Yes.
Here's the point, I believe, that God has for us. God hasn't changed.
Amen.
God hasn't changed. God has spoken promises to you and to me and to us that go way back. Some of the things God has promised you, amen, maybe He promised you something last week, maybe it's last month, maybe it's last year, maybe it's 10 years ago. Maybe He promised something to you when you were a child. And just like the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, you may feel like it's gone silent on that thing. That God said no more about it. He promised you a husband, but said no more about it. He promised you debt freedom, but then said no more about it. He promised you that He's going to raise you up from sickbed, but then said no more about it. But instead of you giving up on the promise of God, I believe the Spirit of God wants to encourage you today to say, that's just a so-called silent period. But understand that even when I'm silent, I'm speaking. And even when I'm inactive, I'm working and orchestrating things. And you don't understand it now, but at the time appointed,
yes,
my promise shall come to pass. Because isn't that what the message of Christmas is.
Yes.
That there was an appointed time.
Yes, yes.
For
yes.
this Savior to come and to crush the head of the enemy.
Yes.
But that promise was made way back.
Mm. Mm.
But God does not let go of his promises. Mm. He is true and he is faithful. So here's the thing I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to do. What is the promise that God has made to you that's just lying dormant?
Mm.
That there seems to be nothing said about it anymore. There's nothing going on. There's inactivity. Well, what is it that he said? And what have you been doing in the meantime?
Mm.
What have you been doing in the meantime? Did you let the promise go? Or are you like Mary and Simeon and Anna, who remain devout and devoted and trust God, even though it's been a long time of silence and inactivity?
Wow.
Silence bothers us, doesn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why some people are so glad that phones now can play music. Because everywhere they go, and if they're by themselves, they just stick in their earphone and just listen to music, they can cut off the whole world. Folks don't even like to take elevators. Do you know that's why they got elevator music? Because people don't like silence. You don't like silence. You go home and cut on your TV and you don't even watch it. You just let it create background noise.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
You turn on your radio, you don't even listen. You just need the silence to be broken. We don't like silence. That's not true. Okay, fine. The next time I see you, I'm not going to say anything. And it's going to bother you to no end. He didn't even speak to me. That's why silent treatment is so effective, because we don't like
Jesus.
We don't like silence.
Yeah.
Ask any husband. When your wife stops talking to you, those are the most miserable days you have on the face of the earth. Brother James, somewhere somebody's gonna see the DVD and they know this thing and they're gonna say, "You don't know my wife." She stopped talking to me, "Oh, happy day." Oh, happy day! Glory to God. Well, I'm sorry for you, brother. Hey, amen. When my wife stops talking to me, I get miserable. Hey, amen. We don't like silence. We don't like silence. So what happens then when God speaks a promise and he remains silent? God is saying, don't be discouraged. Amen. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. But what should you do? Let that promise continue to penetrate your heart. Amen. Continue to dwell on it. Continue to confess it. Continue to believe it. Continue to stand on it. Because God doesn't make promises God doesn't break promises.
That's right.
He's a promise keeper.
Yes, he is.
And in the meantime, please know by faith, God is working on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? God is working on my behalf. Even though I can't see it, even though I don't understand certain things that are happening in my life, even some of the bad things in my life, God is working in that thing to bring his promise to pass that he had for me long before I got here.
Yeah.
Before I formed you in the belly, mm-hmm. I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you to do some things in the earth.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. He said that to Jeremiah, but he said that to you and to me too.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Long before we got here, God had a plan for you.
Yes.
And he spoke that over you, and he spoke it to you, and maybe he then went silent. So I want you to know he's still speaking. If you would be devout and be before him, just like we see Anna and Simeon, he's still moving on your behalf. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
There's a time appointed for the promise.
Yes, there is.
I don't care how old you are. Yeah, I said earlier, and it was kind of a joke, but it wasn't, that I said somebody in here may be singing on stage, and I said, well, maybe it's going to be Christian or Aaliyah. And I said, no, maybe it's me. Mm-hmm. And y'all laugh. And I laugh too. But is God limited by age?
No.
Is God limited by anything? That, amen? God can do anything.
Yes, he can.
And so what's the encouragement in that? It doesn't matter how long you've been waiting. Huh? It doesn't matter how long you've been waiting. That man at the pool of Bethesda had been paralyzed for 38 years. It doesn't matter how long you've been waiting.
Yeah.
That man who was blind, that Jesus, amen, told him to go to the pool of Siloam, that man was blind since what? Since birth.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long you've been waiting. When the appointed time comes for God to fulfill his promise, glory to God. The scriptures say, when I come, will I find faith in the earth? Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. So when he comes, is he going to find you and I standing in faith?
Mm. Amen. Yeah, true.
Amen?
True, man.
And just because you're in church don't mean you're standing in faith.
That's true. That's true.
Angel Gabriel came to two people in the New Testament bringing information from the Old. Mm-hmm. What did we say was the last thing we saw in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi? That God was pointing to the Son of Righteousness, right? That's going to rise up with healing in his wings. Who's that? That's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then he was pointing to someone who's going to come in the spirit of Elijah before that terrible day of the Lord. Who is that? That's John the Baptist. That's the last thing we heard in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and to Mary. And he says to Zechariah, you are going to have a son, and you're going to call him what? John.
Yeah.
That's the one who's going to rise up in the spirit of Elijah. And he says to Mary, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be named Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mary believed him, being unto me according to your word, thy word. It doesn't say that Mary was in the church or that she was the leader of the synagogue or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But what was Zechariah?
Oh.
Yeah.
Zechariah was in the church.
Yeah.
He was he did priestly functions.
Yeah.
And it was his time to be serving in the church when he got the message. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. You can serve in the church and God can come with the message. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't been letting the word penetrate your heart, if you haven't been studying it and meditating on it and getting ready for it, when God breaks his so-called silence, when God does, you'll go, I know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Zechariah did?
Yes, he did.
And the fact that he was in the church and Mary wasn't didn't make a hill of beans a difference, because God is no respecter of persons, but right. God respects faith.
Yes.
So let's not get comfortable that we're in church, because there's a whole lot of church folk who are in church, but there's no faith in it.
That's right.
But that's not you, though.
No, it's not.
Crazy. He was quick.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Say, I believe God.
Okay.
Let's see if I can get more than two people, Lord. I believe God. I did say, right?
Yeah.
I believe God.
Amen. Yes.
Even if it doesn't make any sense to me, I believe God.
Amen.
Why? Because God has shown himself to be faithful. So here's the thing, and we close with this, right? What promise has God made to you? Amen. And it doesn't matter how long ago he made it. It don't matter if you forgot about it. Ask God to bring it back to your remembrance. Mm-hmm. There's some things you and I need to remember, perhaps. Amen. There's some things that God wants to, because God hasn't left off his promise for your life and for my life. Any more than he left off with the promise of all mankind, just because there was these 400 years of silence. Because whatever period of silence you had, I guarantee you, it's been less than 400 years. And if God can continue the conversation, glory to God, after 400 years, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to his promise of the Messiah, can God pick up the conversation with something that he told you 5 years ago? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Huh? I think we should get into a place where we ask God to prepare us to pick up the conversation. To prepare us to pick up the conversation so that when he does, that we'll be standing in faith. It doesn't matter how long. Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how long. And whether that promise is going to be fulfilled is not really on God. It's going to be, what are we doing in between?
Yes.
Right? Anna was in the temple day and night. Simeon was devout. Come on, somebody. What are we doing? What are we doing with our time? I know you work hard, you got your downtime, but what do you do with your downtime? Mm-hmm. How much computer? How much TV? Mm-hmm. How much bowling? People still bowl? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But how much recreation? Mm-hmm. How much of this? But if we want to pick up the conversation, how many of you know we need to get ready?
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
Zechariah wasn't ready, and Mary was. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. So this promise, amen, God's promise is for an appointed time. Listen, so if you haven't received the promise that you say, I know God spoke unto me something. Somebody, a couple weeks ago, I was talking with Sister Patricia, I think, and even Sister Fennell. We had the same conversation separately when God said, oh, I thought we were supposed to be out of this place. I said, yeah, me too. Remember that word?
Yep.
What was that word again?
Break camp and move on.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yep.
See, that's promise. You ever have a promise that you just knew God told you something, but it hasn't happened?
Yep. Yes.
Anybody got those?
Yes.
Yep. I know God told me something, but it hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's an appointed time.
Yes, it is.
Huh?
Yes, it is.
But don't give up on the promise.
Nope.
Right? Don't give up on the promise. Know that God is faithful. But in the meantime, what you and I do is going to be so important. In that so-called silent period, in that so-called inactive period, amen, what we do is going to be important. I'm telling you this, God is keeping up his end of the bargain.
Very much so.
And when he comes and he proclaims, amen, into my world, that joy comes into my world, and amen, and that Jesus comes into my world the same way he came into the world. I want to be like the shepherds. I want to be like Mary. I want to be like Joseph and Simeon and Anna and receive it.
Mm-hmm.
But the person I don't want to be like is Zechariah.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
But that part's up to me, and it's up to you if you want the same thing. Amen? But be encouraged today that the promise God made you has an appointed time. You can't rush it. You can't delay it. Amen?
Amen.
But you can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just pray. You can remain seated and we'll pray. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise and thanks. For you are faithful. Father, there's so many instances in the Bible where we see you made promises unto your people. And Father God, 25 years before Abraham gave birth to the child of promise. So many years, oh God, between the promise to Abraham and to David and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, you made promises to your people. Even today, there are people who are standing on your promises that were made years ago, some even decades ago, Lord. Father, we hear your spirit speaking unto us that you are faithful. And just like Sarah judged you to be faithful, we judge you to be faithful. We know that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. And so, Father God, help us by your spirit to remain steadfast and unmovable, to continue to seek your face, to meditate on the promises that you have spoken to us, no matter how great they may seem or how long ago they were spoken. Because, Father, we know and we see in your word that you are the Lord God and you change not. And that there is an appointed time. In the fullness of time, the promise shall come to pass. I thank you now, God, in the name of Jesus, that the promise shall come to pass for Brother James. That the promise shall come to pass for Brother Les and Sister Gwen. That the promise shall come to pass for Sister Patricia. That the promise shall come to pass for Christian and Nida and their family.
Yes.
The promise shall come to pass for the Fennell family.
Yes.
The promise shall come to pass for all the men and women of Christ. That the promise shall come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. And that the period of silence and inactivity Everything is not what it seems, but you are yet speaking, and you are always working. And so, Father, we thank you right now for encouraging our heart and reminding us, O God, that just as there was an appointed time for the birth of the Savior to come into the world, how much the more shall there be an appointed time for the lesser. Glory to God. Father, we thank you right now. Hallelujah. As we stand here, we can declare that God's promise has an appointed time.
Yes.
And it shall come to pass in our lives. We give you the praise and we give you the thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.